Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hi, everybody.
Hi, and welcome to One at a Time. Hi, and welcome, and hello. This is Joseph G. with Rum Radio and rumradio.org, the most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe. I would like to acknowledge WNAH, Hoyt Carter, and Tony the Horse, who affords us an hour of airtime to their listening audience in Nashville, parts of Kentucky and Arkansas, as a public service presentation. We'd also like to acknowledge Recovery Today Net Magazine, a finer recovery journal that affords some print space from time to time. I'd gratefully like to introduce my co-host, Harold B., a family intervention specialist. He does a fine work with the troubled families and personally believe the families are the basic unit of our society. And as the family goes, so does the nation. Harold?
Hi, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. This is my way of giving back, one of the many ways, and I really appreciate Joseph for putting together his website and the radio broadcast, which go hand in hand. He's done that at his own expense. He makes no money from this venture. It's his way of giving back, and my way also. And so the website is called rumradio.org. rumradio.org, and on the website you can read the material that we're talking about tonight and sharing and reading, and the material is all designed to take us back to basics and help us realize how the original 100 people worked the program and worked the steps and worked with each other. It's very important to work with other alcoholics, and although that receives a lot of lip service these days, in my estimation, what I can see is that there's very little action going on, and so I think most people don't do much, and so the whole program pays the price for that. So I'd like to do what I can to promote and promote working with other people. Two alcoholics working together is the way this thing really happens, the way recovery happens. And that's what tonight's broadcast is about and what Joseph's work and my work is about. I also work with families. And it's very important to reach out to the families of people with drinking problems and help them understand the disease concept. This is a disease. It's a cruel combination of a mental obsession with an allergy of the body. And so we're allergic to alcohol and we crave alcohol, and the way that works together is that the more we drink, the more we want to drink.
Yeah.
And the solution is to not have that first drink. We also need to overcome our selfishness. That's really at the heart of the disease. Selfishness and self-centeredness are the root of the problem. Alcohol is but a symptom. So this evening I think we're on step 10 out of the 12 and 24. So if you're on the website, look at the drop-down box under 12 and 24. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I'd like to start off with the third step prayer. I give this the third step prayer to my new sponsees. I ask them for the first 3 days of their recovery to pick up the 500-pound telephone and ask someone who's agreed to, hopefully 30 different people, but as many as he could get, from a newcomer's packet or a list of men that's going around in the meeting. It's their lifeline list, and that's important to get those names, to ask permission to read the third step prayer. And the reason I do that, getting them used to picking up that 500-pound telephone, connecting up with their home group. Everyone should have a home group, some so they could feel at home and comfortable in the settings of Alcoholics Anonymous. The third step prayer also encapsulates what we're going to try to accomplish by working all 12 steps. And lastly, the person that he might be calling might have been thinking about picking up his first drink of alcohol. And once he hears the prayer coming from another's mouth, chances are he will not. No guarantees, but it's a great way to put him into service and understand what we're going to try to accomplish by working the 12th step. This is the prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may be witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
There was this fellow in Georgia, and he was taking a leisurely walk down a Georgia road, and he came across a trestle high up over the Wackat River. And as he looked, he saw a fellow on the outer edge of the trestle. And his curiosity brought him up to the fellow, and he looks like he was going to jump. And he said, "Sir, what are you doing there?" He says, I can't stand life anymore. Life is too bitter. I'm going to end it all. He said, "Well, before you do that, let me ask you a question. Are you a spiritual man?" He says, "Yes, I am."
Toddler turned
around. He says, "Are you a Buddhist
program,
or are you a Christian?" He says, "I'm a Christian." And the other fellow says, "Well, so am I." He says, "Are you a Catholic, or are you a Protestant?" He says, "Well, I'm a Protestant." He says, "Well, so am I." He says, "Are you a Episcopalian or are you a Baptist?" He says, "Well, I'm a Baptist." He says, "Well, so am I." He says, "Are you a Reformed Baptist?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Me too." He says, "Are you a Reformed Baptist from 1918 or a Reformed Baptist of 1849? He says, "I'm a Reformed Baptist of 1918. And the fellow, all of a sudden, in a rush, pushed him off the river and said, "Die, you heretic scum."
that says it all.
Doesn't it? Everybody's got the perfect idea when it comes to religion. In the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and our 12-step program families, we believe in spirituality. Bill W. said, "AA and his sister 12-step programs were spiritual kindergarten." I tell my church this: if the 12 steps are not a gift from God, have you adopted them? And if they are a gift from God, why do you feel compelled to change them? Of course, I never get an answer on that. People are going to do it their own way. Everybody's going to come up with the better way. Everybody's got a better idea, and everybody's looking for answers. So tonight we're going to be doing step 10. Step 10 has also been known as one of the maintenance steps. I don't like that word, maintenance. The big book tells us our sobriety is contingent upon the maintenance of a daily spiritual condition.
You know, if somebody...
But the question is, what maintains itself? Nothing of itself maintains itself.
And they'd have
you're either growing spiritually or you're declining spiritually. And if you're declining spiritually, your recovery and even your sobriety becomes tentative. We have to grow spiritually. That's part of the agreement of growing. And as we grow spiritually, we grow in understanding and effectiveness. Rum Radio is part of that effectiveness to get the word, the basic format of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the template of all 12-step programs, a back-to-basics approach, when it was the most productive.
Tyler Perry has no business putting that...
So right now, I like to think of step 10, 11, and 12 not as the maintenance steps, but as the growth steps. We continue to grow. The simplicity of the 12 steps, step 10, is perseverance. We persevere. We continue on. probably, perseverance is probably the strongest force in the universe. Everything will fall to perseverance.
Don't know.
It beats out good looks and beats out wealth. And there goes another rubber tree plant.
Yes, she'd be starting a...
Now, our prospect, assuming their work has been honest and thorough, this is to date,
we continue on from step nine now,
is a recovered alcoholic. Not a recovering alcoholic. They are recovered. Oftentimes in the rooms, you're going to hear people, I'm recovering. That comes from the idea that we're never truly healed from this disease. And by saying that, we say to ourselves, no, we still have to continue on this process. The big book, which is our basic text, tells us on page XIII, which I believe is 13, to show other alcoholics specifically how recovered is the main purpose of this book. Again, on page XXIII, which I believe was 23, the man and over 100 others appeared to have recovered. Page 17, we of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered. Page 20, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Page 29. Further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. Page 44 through 45. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life was sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. Page 90. If he says yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. Page 96. How often that if he had continued to work them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. Page 113, he knows that thousands of men, much like himself, have recovered. Page 132, we have recovered and have been given the power to help others. Page 133, we have recovered from serious drinking, our miracles of mental health. Page 146, an alcoholic who has recovered but holds a relatively unimportant job can talk to a man with a better position. Harold?
Absolutely. That's an important distinction, and I think it needs to be made. I like to think of a baby learning to walk. And all the falls are, each fall is followed by a getting up again, and that's how it goes. So that's the perseverance, and we are recovered, and so I'm glad we're getting that straight. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. How could someone who has actually read this book proclaim that we are always recovering? The word recovering, by the way, shows up exactly one time in our basic text, and it's to a temporary condition. What we are attempting to recover from is a seamless, hopeless state of mind and body. The hopeless state is driven by a lack of power, page 45. Once we harness that power, we are no longer powerless. That's why the word powerless shows up in the wording of the 12 steps only once. And it's in the past tense. Step one, we were powerless. Without that power, you are spiritually asleep. This is why we use the term spiritual awakening. Once you awaken, which happens upon moving into the maintenance and growth steps, you are no longer powerless over your seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. There's a condition you have recovered from, And we are guaranteed that if we employ step 10, 11, and 12 in the way in which the book directs us, we will stay recovered. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. There it is. We have entered the world of the Spirit. We are awakened. That was the great, the Buddha. That was his statement. I have awakened. I am awake.
I am awake, yes.
I'm awake. He has awakened. He's awakened to his new spiritual life. He looked from spiritual eyes. I am now awake. I have awakened. In this first three steps, we prepared for change. In the next six, we recovered from the illness. The final three steps are where we will live and grow in the light of the Spirit for the rest of our lives. Though we must remember that while we have recovered from a seemingly hopeless condition, we are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition, and that there's that maintenance again. If you look at that whole segment on the Big Book, it talks about resting on your laurels and that we must remain into action. What they're alluding to is maintenance of a spiritual condition. It's continuing doing the work of prayer, meditation, turning your thoughts to someone you can help. But all these things that they suggest we do will enliven and grow your spiritual awareness. So it is a growth that's going on. If you kept at the same level and you relax, I call it restless laurelitis. You like that, Harold?
Yes. Yep. Can't
resting
do that.
Resting on all laurels, which is very easy to do. I've done it. I'm sure Harold has done it. I'll speak for you, Harold, if you don't mind. We all have done it one time or another. We've rested on the actions that we have done in the past because life gets in the way. We have a life now. We have a job or two, a wife or two, children, commitments, social commitments, civic commitments, and then we have AA. Well, AA got the rest of it came because we got sober through AA, but now we don't have really that much time. We have time to go to a meeting, and we have time to share. We pontificate. We tell them how wonderful our life is and how important it is for the newcomer to see how well we're doing. And then we go home and just go back to our life, and that's the end of the show. There's no sponsorship being done. There's nobody's answering the phones. We show up to meetings. Really good. I've heard some people with many, many years of recovery, and they speak wonderful. They have all the words and the jokes, and really, it's amazing to hear them speak. It's really enlivening. But when it really comes down to it, they're just talking. A lot of talk. And I'm speaking to myself. I've done the same thing. I've talked to meetings, you know, talked at the higher level, but I wasn't doing anything. From the condition granted a daily reprieve, much like a prisoner being marched to the electric chair who gets a last-second reprieve from the governor. We awaken every morning with just that, another day in which we can stave off this deadly disease and live in the path of our higher power. The only difference between us and the death row inmate is that he doesn't have to do anything to earn his reprieve. We do. Here we are, back into action. I believe we're saved by grace after all that we can do, that after all that we can talk, that after all that we can pray, that even after all that we can think. The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. We're also told we can't think our way into right action. Wow. But we can act our way into right thinking. Here we go, action again. Darn, that's the last thing I want to do is take action. Action takes time, takes effort, takes energy, takes discipline. Discipline, there you go. The problem with discipline is it takes motivation. The problem with motivation is not now becomes never. I have to get around to it before I can get anything done. And you know what? I never really get that round to it. Life gets in the way again. Harold?
Absolutely. What I've found that I have to do is, is take out my pen and paper and create a schedule for myself, make a commitment, work with another person, make appointments, make plans, and then stick to those plans. And that's the only way I can make things happen. I've been working on all this for decades. I'm a grandfather. I've got 9 grandkids, and so I've found if I don't write things down, work with other people, teamwork, and a written schedule, I'm a goner. That's how I've recovered. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. The 12 steps is the repentance process for children. We repent of our past behaviors and find a way how to amend the past. Oscar Wilde said, no man can buy back his past, but that was before the installment plan. We clear the wreckage, so now we have something we can give away. It's also called a design for living. The design for living, which is step 10, 11, and 12. That's the design. Is going to give us 5 things we need to be doing on a daily basis to remain spiritually fit.
How do we do it? Hello.
We're going to do something again. Here we go. We got to take more action. I've had enough. Hey, I'm sober. Can you leave me alone already? I go to meetings. I'm good. You want me to do more stuff? Come on. How does this ever end?
How do I pick them? Hello, this is Mr.
Meetings for
Ball.
The rest of my life?
Hello.
We never do anything for the rest of... Hopefully the rest of your life is a very long time. We never do anything for the rest of our lives. Actually, we do it one day at a time, one meeting at a time. The 2 times when you should go to a meeting is when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. I usually recommend to my sponsees 3 meetings a week is a minimum. Psyche and Soma. Soma is body, psyche is mind. You go to the gym. It's usually recommended a minimum of 3 days a week to stay physically toned. So I relate that over to the spiritual, emotional life, 3 meetings a week. The meetings are important, no doubt about it, but that's where you find your sponsees. That's where it reinforces the work. How do other people accomplish that action? And what's their story in accomplishing that? Maybe you can get a tip or a hint. And, of course, it's fun. Not forget, lot of funny stuff. Great stories. Moving. Cheerful. Fun. Family. The first of these will come in our 10-step directions on page 84. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly. Now, usually when it says, the big book doesn't say that, but we discuss them with someone immediately, that's your sponsor. The word sponsor does not appear in the big book. It just doesn't. What was there at the time? I think the closest reference to a sponsor is right here, someone, and a friend. So the whole concept of sponsorship in doing this was not done because it was done so quickly. And the way they would do it, you would do the surrender at the hospital, and then you couldn't go to the meeting until you did the surrender, which was the first 3 steps, on your knees. You couldn't go to the meeting, and once you did that, the amend steps, the restitution steps, were done within days. So the concept of a sponsor came from the guy going to the hospital to pick you up, but taking you through the steps was done at the meeting. The rest of it was done at the meeting. And if the guy that took you to the hospital wasn't there, they'd go, Harold, take Joseph and start working with him, will you? Or you did it as a group. So they didn't conceive of the one-on-one. Dr. Bob was more of the one-on-one sponsor. He sponsored 5,000. Now, that must have been pretty quick, huh, Harold?
Yes, that must have been quick. I just in my early recovery, I did 7 or more 90-90s in a row. I would do one, two, maybe three meetings a day for days and months and months. Over the first 2 years, I attended over 1,000 meetings, and it began to sink in. That's how I did it. And so when I ask people to go to a meeting every day, I'm not asking them to do anything that I didn't do. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I tell my sponsees I recommend 90 meetings in 90 days. I don't hold their feet to it. I did the same thing like Harold. I probably, in my first year of sobriety, did at least, I would take 400 or 500 meetings my first year of sobriety. But I wasn't working the steps, so I needed the meeting. Because every meeting, you're going to get a spiritual bump. We start with a invocation, and then all meetings, no matter what the spin, are gratitude meetings. We're grateful. You listen to everyone share, there's gratitude in every share. So that we got an attitude of gratitude as a prayer unto God. And then, of course, we close the meeting with a prayer, which is called a benediction. So it's pretty heady stuff. You're going to get a little spiritual bump every time you go to the meeting. Well, guess what happens? You leave the meeting, and then it's life on life's terms, and then you have to run back to the next meeting, and you get your spiritual bump, and then it's like a rat on a treadmill. All you're doing is the meetings, but you're staying sober. Is that not enough? The point is, working steps is the key. The meetings are to facilitate that process, to keep you in the center of the group. Because the herd is safer than the lone wolf. And as a lone wolf, I could tell you that. But I'm a tough lone wolf. We continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts. This is the key right here. This is the one. Listen up, folks. This is the one. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. When we're in the service of our fellow beings, are we not in the service of our God? That's what it's telling us to do. Go out and do some service work. Turn your thoughts to someone you can help. In the service of our fellow beings, are we not in the service of our God? And when we're in that service and in that moment, is that not when we divorce from self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity? And in that service and in that moment, is that not when we make our conscious contact with our Creator, who lives from moment to moment, eternity to eternity, life everlasting? The magic words in AA, you ready? Action and more action, for faith without works is dead. Harold?
Yes, it's so important for us to get back to basics and understand how the first recovered people conducted themselves. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. This is a quote right from the book, by the way, audience. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. So the helping the new person is our focus. The new person is the most important person in the room, and we can never lose sight of that. I've been to meetings in many cities in several countries, and I think there's a tendency to lose sight of that, of working with others as the way to really stay in recovery, and it's worrisome. That's why we have this program, and that's why the website exists. rumradio.org. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. The newcomer is the most important person in the room besides me. I say that as a joke, of course, half jokingly. I also tell the newcomer that he's the most important person in the room unless the room catches fire. And then it's every man for himself again. The newcomer is life's blood to AA. Just like the old timer is the backbone. But relapse is the soul, because there's nothing more tormented than a head full of AA and a belly full of booze. You got an amen on that?
Amen.
A head of AA and a belly. Remember, a body in motion tends to stay in motion. A body at rest tends to get drunk. Our first task here is to keep our eyes open and stay on watch for four things. Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Essentially, any part of our old, inappropriate behavior we find ourselves in acting is sure to fall into one of or more of these four umbrella terms. Notice the next four words, when these crop up, not if these crop up. This is a when, for they will. When is a will? This is a way. No way. Yeah, way. Not if these crop up. Not in case these crop up. They will crop up. We have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. We have not recovered from being human. Oh. Remember, natural man is an enemy to God and has been since the fall. And the winter doesn't look much better. But the spring comes with the promise of the resurrection and new birth. And by the summer, the cotton will be high and the catfish, there will be a jumping. In other words, we're human. We're carnal, not because we're evil. We're carnal, not because we're bad. We're carnal because we're human. This is just our condition of being people. Our text never says, don't be dishonest, selfish, resentful, or fearful. In fact, the word don't never appears in the book. It simply tells us what to do when they inevitably happen. And if you're human, they're going to be happen. If you're a human being, not a lima bean, not a pork and bean, a human being. And so the first of our five spiritual directives for spiritual maintenance and growth is a four-step game plan to be employed when we notice we're lapsing into old behavior. Go to God. If we have been saying our third and seventh step prayers daily, we ought to know how to do this by now. Turn it over to another person, the sponsor. We're assuming that you have learned to pick up a phone and reach out to others at this point, your sponsor or otherwise. The otherwise is that list I was referring to. Everyone new in recovery and later should have a list of regular people they can call and count on. Just for moral support sometimes, if not advice. As a sponsor, we don't give advice. We give directions to the big book. There was a sponsee one time. I heard this in a meeting. There was a sponsor one time, and he said that early on in his recovery, every time he had a problem, he would call his sponsor. And his sponsor would listen to his problem with great earnest and tell him what page in the big book to find the answer. And he would do this over and over again, whatever page, 76, 69, page 11, and the sponsee at the time would always find his answer. So now the sponsor turned around to him and says, look, you've gone through the steps. You've got a good spiritual program. It's time for you to give back. The one immunity we have from alcohol is intensive work with another alcoholic. This activity works when other activities fail. But you can't give away something you don't have. You got it. You got to give it away now. He says, look, I'd like to sponsor somebody like you did, but I don't know the big book like you know the big book, and there's no way I can direct them to those pages like you directed me. And the sponsor turned around to him and said, I just gave you arbitrary page numbers. You found what you were looking for. You like that, Harold?
I like that. I believe it happens that way. Joseph?
We make an amend. Amend. Oh, brother, we go back to the amend. Amend is like, I always like to think of it as like mending a piece of cloth. We have a needle and a thread, and we're going to mend it up. We did something wrong again. It's one of our character defects that God still hasn't put away or that we're holding on to. We hold on to some of these because that's how we identify ourselves. Speaking of me, of course. We identify myself, or it's a survival technique. So I'm not really ready to give up my survival techniques because I survived using those techniques. You know, if I give them up, I would be too vulnerable. So it came out again. I have to make an amends. I have to patch the cloth. So the question is, same thing, do you have the resources? Is the person available? You don't have the resources, but the person's available. You have the resource and you don't have the person available, or you have the resource and the person's not available. You have the needle, not the thread. You have the needle and the thread. You don't have the needle, but you have the thread. You have the thread, but not the needle. Until you can answer those questions, now you go for it and you make, if the way in which we are dishonest to self has caused harm, the ninth step is not just about cleaning up harms from the past, you're not done hurting people. It's still the same character defects. Step 10 is steps 4 through 9 taken in a single package. So we look back to the other steps to see what the resolution looks like in step 10. And then here we go again, turn your thoughts to doing service. This can be any kind of service, chatting with a newcomer, introducing yourself, when someone walks through the door, take their hand, put them in, picking up a piece of paper or garbage that isn't yours, smiling at a sad store clerk, being of good cheer, being of good countenance. What do you got going there, Harold? You got noise in the background. What do you got?
Noise? No.
Yes, I'm Robin.
That's nothing on my end. But yes, any kind of service, and it's I think shaking hands with people, smiling. One of the meetings I went to in the Northwest was a rough meeting. People were there from all kinds of different walks of life. There were a lot of. It was in a part of town where there were a lot of homeless and treatment centers and so forth. And one time we had a birthday meeting. There was somebody celebrating their first birthday, and they were recalling the day they entered the rooms, and it was that room where they started, and someone was at the door fulfilling their assignment, the assignment from their sponsor. They were shaking hands and saying welcome, and when he arrived at the meeting, someone shook his hand and said welcome. It was life-changing for him. It just really meant something that he would be welcomed. He didn't know what to expect. He was very nervous. That happens to a lot of people. And he said that handshake, that smile, that welcome was truly life-changing for him and really the key to his recovery. The person at the door had saved a life, and he didn't even realize it. So, I don't see people at the doors any further. At the meeting tonight, I had I like to take the garbage out, keep the place cleaned up a bit. We used to have a crew that would gather Saturday afternoon after the noon meeting. They would get together clean the toilets, take out the garbage, mop the floor, sweep, and that seems to have gone by the wayside. The place is just a mess on Sunday when we get there, and so I enjoy grabbing the garbages and putting them together and take the bag out to the dumpster, put a new bag in, you know, just a little 5-minute task. And so I was doing that this evening. Someone came in and said, who moved the garbage, you know, as if I was doing something wrong. And I said, well, you know, we do have to take the garbage out once in a while. So rather than, hey, how can I help, or where, you know, it was, who moved the garbage, you know? Somebody's inconveniencing me. It just goes to show that the selfishness and self-centeredness are the root of our problem. Alcohol is but a symptom. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. So you got left holding the bag, huh, Harold?
Yeah.
A proper 10-step is almost never more than a 5-minute process. And please believe that the difference between experienced fear and resentment in recovery and turning it over, and experiencing fear and resentment in recovery and not turning it over, is night and day. Transparency with our feelings will be a cornerstone of our continued recovery. Remember, this has taken somebody through in 24 hours, which I've never done that. So to make that clear, I've never done this. I usually agree to 30 to 45 days, which very rarely happens. But at least in the beginning, it gives the sponsee some kind of idea how long this is going to take. And I go through really quick on the fourth and fifth. I'm not as thorough as some people would agree to. But what I found is that most of my sponsees attain and maintain long-term sobriety because the chances are on step five they're going to have a spiritual experience. And that'll hold them until they can work in the steps with someone else. Most people are going to do another fourth or fifth step down the road. Even after they've done one, other things will come up. But step 10 is really about the present. The recent past. Finally, we are delivered our 10-step promises. Ah, we got promises in the 10th step. Wait a minute, I think I skipped a piece here. Hold on. Of the five spiritual directives, the only one which does not demand we employ it daily. With that said, when someone I have done the work with goes a week or so without doing a 10 step, I will generally offer, is it possible you have gone 7 full days without experiencing fear, resentment, selfishness, or dishonesty? Did you catch that? If you haven't gone more than 7 days without doing a 10 step, the question asked sponsee, is it possible you have not gone 7 days without experiencing fear, resentment, selfishness, or dishonesty? If you have, you should probably sponsor me. In other words, the guy's ready to be translated into Spanish. He's a spiritual giant. We go through these things usually on a daily basis. You're human.
Yes.
Here. There's always some fear come up somewhere, a little lack of faith in there, a little fear. I tell my 8-year-old granddaughter, where there's no danger, there is no fear. And where there is no fear, there is no danger. We're fraught with danger because most people live either in the past or the future. Future is fear. We've been there. Our language gives us away. It could have been worse. Oh, no, what's going to happen now? We make up these really bad scenarios. You know, that I've had some really bad experiences in my life, and some of them actually happened. resentment, the number one offender. You know, envy is a resentment. Did you know that, Harold? Envy
was
an emotional. Resentment is an emotional resentment and an indication of a low self-esteem. Wow, that sounds like me. Selfishness or dishonesty. What was I thinking just about me? Gee, I might not be much, but I'm all I think about. Dishonesty. Oh, it's okay. The bank owes me. I pay a lot at the grocery store. I should be able to graze a little bit. If you have, you should probably sponsor me. In other words, yeah, you're more spiritually involved, so you sponsor me. I don't believe that a sponsor has to have more years of recovery than the sponsor. I don't believe in the years. It's nice to have, and it's a great indication of gathering lint. But some of the worst offenders I've ever seen. Matter of fact, somebody suggested I befriend somebody on Facebook who's got like 46 years, and me and him have gotten into it in the past. Crazy is alone, but we've had to come to so that taught me that years really is that cornerstone. What really counts is, are they working an honest program to the best of their ability on a regular or daily basis? That's who you want for a sponsor. That's why on the Rum Radio website I have an interview for a sponsor. Ah, let's see where the guy's at. Let's see if he's – I've met guys many years. They don't have sponsors. Why do I need a sponsor? I'm sober 30 years. I don't need a sponsor. Oh, yeah? Have you gone without fear, selfishness, envy, or resentment in the last 7 days? I believe the answer would be you have, and you haven't dealt with it. So you got 30 years of this stuff piling up. A lot of folks I've run into, they're living on the spiritual experience they had years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or more. Wow, that's a long time to stretch out that spirit, huh, Harold?
Yes, it's a daily thing, and what we're actually doing is preparing ourselves so that we can have a sponsee. Intensive work with another alcoholic is successful. Well, we can't have a sponsee unless we have a sponsor. So we want the whole package. We want honesty. We want open-mindedness. We want a willingness. So we need to give this away if we want to keep it. The way we give it away is by having a sponsee. The only way we can have a sponsee is if we have a sponsor. So that's what this boils down to. And yes, there are people that remain sober. They stay away from alcohol. But alcohol is but a symptom. Selfishness and self-centeredness are the root of our problem. So in order to overcome selfishness and self-centeredness, we've got to give this away. In order to give it away, we need a sponsee. In order to have a sponsee, we need a sponsor. So we need to overcome our selfishness and our self-centeredness. And that is that. I disagree also with the years. It's not about the years. The way we ended the meeting tonight is that we gathered in a circle, held hands, and said together the Lord's Prayer. And in there it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. And that means the Word of God is our daily bread. Every day being in communion with God, talking to God, listening to God, finding out how he thinks by reading his living word. That's where I am spiritually, and we've got to, well, I I always talk about the six things that I do on a daily basis, and one of them is first thing in the morning, read some recovery literature, and that can be the big book. So that's where I am in my process, and every day we've got to get more and more familiar with how God thinks. And the 11th step is the one I'm working on right now, and it's improving my conscious contact with God through meditation and prayer. And that includes, for me at this point, that includes the big book, which is reading the Bible, communing with God, improving my conscious contact with God. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. Give us our daily bread. You know, I always thought of it like, give us our daily bread, give us our daily Mercedes, give us our daily blonde, brunette, or redhead, give us our daily something. But I believe you're closer to the truth, where man does not live by bread alone, but every word that come forth out of the mouth of God. So we're making a spiritual commitment to seek God's word.
Yes.
Finally, we are delivered our 10 promises. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Well, I'm working on that one, folks. For by this time, sanity will have returned with normality and reliability. We seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it from like a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. And we will find that this has happened automatically. Hey, I'm on automatic pilot. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. That's a change. Swear off all the time. I don't have to even swear it off. It's not there. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That's our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. For those who find themselves coming up against all of the steps are meant to take a year. Nonsense. Percolating through our rooms, directing someone to the 10th step promises is a rather effective way to demonstrate that this is a dangerously erroneous idea. And the above promises, we told that four things have happened which will not have occurred until this point in the work. Before I continue, I had a sponsor, Dan, and from New Jersey, chronic relapser. And Dan, in his home group, you had to go to meetings for a year before you could even work the steps. When I got into town in Houston, I went to the Post Oak. Their deal at the time was a step a month. And I'm going, why a step a month? We really want to make sure you get it down. No logic, no reason. That's just the way we do business. Who are you, newcomer, coming from an unknown place, telling us how to run the railroad? We're just fine without you. If you don't like the way we do it here, you go somewhere else. Wow, all that love, all that tolerance. I couldn't stand it. We have ceased fighting. So if you know what it's like spending decades playing perpetual defense with your dukes up, this is the point which you will begin to find relief. Sanity has returned. So the lack of sanity that you located in step one and so that you could have restored in step two has now returned. We are safe and protected. If you have had the experience of never feeling truly safe in the world, here's where that starts to show up. We are safe and protected. Everybody wants to feel safe and protected. It's one of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I believe it's the second one, security. Safe and protected. The problem has been removed. And here we go. We're recovered. Hey, man, no problem. No solution. We found the problem and we found our solution. We recovered. The problem has been removed. Essentially, to tell a newcomer that it will take him a year to work the steps is the equivalent of welcome message, which sounds like this. Hi, welcome to AA. Just so you know, we'll take you a year before you stop fighting. It will take a year to become sane. It will take a year to feel safe and protected. And it will be a year sitting on your hands and trying to buffer the willpower while you wait for your problem to be removed. Anyway, the coffee urn is over there. Best of luck. Harold?
Yeah, I just, the interesting thing about this program is that errors have snuck in, and I suppose that happens with any program, any system. Little things sneak in, and after a while, no one knows how to sort between things that were actually there and errors that have been added. But this one is a major problem. It even appears in some of the pamphlets, and no one exactly knows where it came from, but I do know that it can be a big problem for a newcomer. That's what I like about this article that we've been going over, written by Michael M., that we can go through these steps quickly. It's not only possible, but it's beneficial to get through the steps. And it's really needed, and we need to get back to that. We need to get back to basics. And any even casual look at the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous will show that they went through the steps quickly, and we should be doing the same. That's all there is to it. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. Well, that gives us 2 minutes for the to it. I believe step 10 and 11 are connected at the hip. Step 1 hangs alone. 2 and 3, 4 and 5, 6 and 7, 8 and 9, 10 and 11. So next week we're going to be going over step 11, which I believe is prayer is the quarterback. We send it out. Meditation is the feedback. And self-examination is the goal line. We're looking for those character defects again. Back to those character defects, those pesky, annoying, hard to eradicate defects of character. Oh, brother.
Impossible to eradicate. Yeah,
you know, we're going to die with some of them, make no mistake. That's just the nature of the beast. We can only do the best we can. All the steps, just except for step one, are ideals. We do the best we can. We're always doing three. We're always doing six. Who's entirely ready? Oh, three, we give it up, we take it back. Give it up, take it back. Step six, entirely ready. Nobody's entirely ready. Step seven, God's going to take some of this stuff in his time and in his way. And 10, 11, and 12. So we can grow spiritually and understanding and in effectiveness. Rum Radio is that effectiveness. We're going around the world. We're in 139 foreign countries, including Mississippi. 2,314 town, cities, and villages, and we're approaching 144,000 hits to the website, and we continue to move forward. So you remember, if you're looking for the some good information. There's no money being made, and we're anonymous to the 11th tradition. And like always, Harold,